All right, we're live. What Embargo, Book 2, Chapter 2, Yellow Snapper and Big Tuna, hitting it up again. We're going to be talking about some, what up? We're going to be talking about some good things tonight, but I hope everyone had a good Labor Day weekend. I know Yellow Snapper did.
That's right.
Spent some time with fans.
Spend some time with a little shithead high schooler that thinks that, you know. Oh, I better not say anything just in case she watches, but I highly doubt she watches something about Cuban cigars.
Hey, man, you never know. They might just pop on and be like, God, man, he's bashing me. So.
You're a dick.
High schoolers, man, they're pieces of work.
Man, they just. You know what? A total off tangent, but whatever. I hate how they're at the dinner table, and they have their earphone in, and then it's like they don't even pay attention to the actual dinner in front of them and the people around them. That pisses me off. Like, that's just – grow up, man. Like, I mean, a lot of that's just – anyways.
What? They have the damn – they have their headphones on? That's crazy.
Yeah, man, like, you know, and then the little kids, they're out there, you know, on their little iPads and playing games and whatnot. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's crazy. I wouldn't stand at my table. We don't rule that. But let's begin. First of all, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Bovita, the global leader in two-way humidification. Can't say enough positive things about it. It's all I use. Takes good care of my cigars, Habanos, and so forth. They have the humidity level settings, which is what you need. And iHavanas, a global retailer for Habanos. They even sell some non-Cubans as well. Check them out, www.ihavanas.com. Tell Brian we said hello. June, smokes.
Smokes. All right. Last couple of weeks of smokes since we've seen you guys last. Starting with some noteworthy ones. I smoked a lot. I smoked probably 10 or 15 Habanos within the last couple of weeks, and that's excluding non-Cubans.
So I don't give a shit about the non-Cubans. Don't fucking even talk about them.
Yes. So noteworthy ones. I had a 2006 Romeo Julieta Churchill. Fantastic cigar. Yeah, it's so good, man. Like, there's some. I feel like within the Churchills out there, or like Double Coronas really added together. I think Romeo Julieta ages so incredibly well, man. Like, I've had decade old ones. I've had 5 year old ones. I had even like 2-3 year old ones, and they all smoke pretty damn good. So.
It's about the only Romeo I really like, too.
Hmm.
I'm not crazy about the mark, the markup.
Yeah. Have you had the Cazadores by any chance?
No. Well, actually, wait a minute. I've had one years ago.
Super strong, but.
Yeah.
But I hear you. I mean, well, I don't really touch Romeo Julieta, like, and it's not because. I mean, it's because I tried them. I didn't really like them that much. But yeah. These Churchills are awesome. You know, it's kind of sad because, you know, I had one of those and that was my last one. And it's all good. But I'll just wait for the rest of my stuff to age and plug through. So
it's the way to do it.
What's up?
I said it's the way to do it, man. You just got to age them.
Right. Exactly. So and then I got some I finally smoked, after being in the cabinet for like 3-4 months, the 2014 Hoyo de Monterey, Le Hoyo de San Juan.
What'd you think of that?
That was good. We were talking about it. Really good. It has such, you know, it kind of goes back and makes me feel surprised about Hoyo as a marca, because Hoyo gets this rep to be like a real light body, like, lighter nose, lighter body kind of a smoke. But this was far from that. I felt like this cigar was full of body. I felt like it was young, but the flavors are so It's very prevalent. It's very bold. I think it'll be personally a really good aging cigar. I loved it, dude. I think it might be worthwhile to get another one of these boxes and just, you know, stash them for the long haul.
It's a great, I love the flavors with it. It's a big cigar. I mean, that's my one beef with it, but man, it smokes great. The ones I've smoked have been fantastic. So, but yeah, you're right. I think they're going to age great. And it definitely shows that Oya, a stronger, richer Oya quality.
Yes, for sure. Last but not least, dude, I spoke through two boxes of these already. I had a Cognier, from the original release. It's a great cigar. It's incredibly flavorful. It's incredibly full body. The flavors are so freaking rich. Like, the only thing is I wanted to age some, but it's hard for me to get my hands off them.
That's a great stick. I smoked one of those a couple nights ago. Maybe it was last night. Can't remember. Fantastic.
Yeah. Fantastic. And then a couple noteworthy ones, other ones, you know, to kind of talk about stuff that's more on the budget side of the spectrum, kind of like the cheap and budget-friendly sort of thing. I had a 2014 Por Larenaga Panatella and a 2013 H. Upman Half Corona. Those half coronas are like little cracks. I mean, it's amazing. It's such a great short smoke. You know, it's kind of like a lot of people would say particle shorts, they could just smoke through like chains and chains of particle shorts. That's one of particle shorts, the Upman half coronas. And the P.L. Panatella, I know that, what's that dude's name? The guy that does coffee? Colin.
Oh, Colin Ganlin loves them. He swears by them.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, he's right, man. It's so cheap. Like, I think a box of Dress Box of 25, like, you know, Havana's, you know, when they're on special, I think they do it for, like, $90. So.
Yeah, Cuba pays you to smoke them, man. It's great, man. You buy a box of them, they give you $5 for them. It's like a coupon. It's a great stick. There's some really amazing, affordable cigars coming out of Cuba. Half Coronas for a box 25 is really cheap, too. That's just H. Evans. Smoke through them.
Speaking of which, I had this conversation with one of the guys at my local B&M, and he said, you know, I was in there, and I was smoking one of those Half Coronas Upmans, and he goes, you smoke a lot of Cubans. I was like, yeah, you know, I think Cubans is mainly my favorite, you know, region of cigars that I typically enjoy. And then he goes, yeah, but like, you know, you just told me you like the Illusione Rothschild, and that's what you usually pick up. And I was like, yeah, I mean, when I'm at the B&M, I do. But in California, after state tobacco taxes, the Rothschild is still $6 a pop. So, and I said, why would I, you know, I could always find a Cuban that's cheaper and more flavorful than the non-Cuban that you put up against that's your favorite, you know, cigar. So.
Yeah, Louisiana Rothschilds is a great, great cigar. And, you know, it's kind of – you look at these – I had this theory for a little while. It's after the H. Upman Half Corona was released. You started seeing a lot of these Half Corona styles. I mean, Rothschilds came out a year later. There's a lot of these little sticks that came out after that. It's a great price and
what do you
great little smoke.
What have you been smoking?
Smoked the Juan Lopez Celestine number 1 and 2 to compare them. That Corona Gorda versus the Robusto. I still go with the Corona Gorda, but I'm a big Juan Lopez guy. I love Juan Lopez. It's a brand I can really get behind. I don't think you're crazy about them.
Do you do a write up about that?
No, I didn't do a write up. I just smoked them. Smoke them back to back. One of the Robustos was pretty recent production, but the box I got, which I got from my Havanas, was incredible. Even Catfish was like, gosh, that's great, great young Juan Lopez. So I smoked that. I went on to smoke a Asia Pacific Regional Edition La Florida Cana, which I think was from 10 or 11, which was terrible.
It's horrible.
That's pretty brutal.
there's a reason why people are ditching those things and like they're still around, man.
Yeah, there's a reason these things are. I mean, yeah.
But you never know, man. Like with Habanos, you never know, it might turn a corner, right? Like, will you be surprised and it's good all of a sudden? So
exactly. Which then got me going down memory lane. I smoked an old St. Louis Ray Serie A, which is my favorite size in the market. The double Cronus can be really good. I hate the Regios, but St. Louis Ray, it's a love-hate relationship I have with that brand. I don't know how you feel about it.
I don't feel like there's not much out there for St. Louis Ray to try out. Like, I mean, what's out there aside from the Regio and then the Serie A and then Double Corona?
Like, that's it?
Yeah, that's it, right?
It's better. I mean, that's it. That's all I got. It's like Juan Lopez.
Right. So, I mean, I have a lot of people rave about these, and they're good, but they're not like, oh, my God, I'm going to take a big shit and love smoking this thing afterwards. But I smoked I have a whole 50 cab of those 2009 SLR double Coronas. Yeah. They're good, but I don't feel like they're hype worthy good. And on the forums, I was on, you know, some of these forums, you know, somebody was talking about how they're all in search for it and how they really want to get into it and buy some, but you know, I don't feel like it's one of the better representations of a double Corona.
No, so, it's not. I don't think it's as reliable and as consistent.
Mm-mm.
And I've heard a lot of retailers basically say, if you come across a 50 count cabinet where you smoke one and it's phenomenal, pick up the cabinet. But if you just pick up a cabinet without smoking out of it, you might be getting one which isn't that good.
Right. No, I agree. It's funny because I bought that 50 cab when I was relatively new into Habanos, probably like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And and people exactly said that to me. But at that time, you know, I was kind of a dumbass and I just kind of thought, oh, my God, 2009 Habanos, that I don't know anything about this.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I don't give a shit. I could always trade it away or whatever, right, or sell it. Like, so I was totally okay with that. But it turned out to be a good box, man. Like, I don't honestly like smoking a lot of double Coronas because I don't have the mindset for it. Like, oftentimes I'll smoke half of it. I'm like, I kind of want to smoke something else.
I love double Coronas, but it's one of those, it's a commitment to them, but it's something special when I smoke them, I feel like. So it's one of those, you never know. I also smoked a Monte Cristo Petit Edmundo from 2008, which was just, it's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I don't care what anyone says. It's the only Monte Cristo that I really smoke all the time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. 08s are so good, man. Like, I mean, I've had 08 Cohibas. I've had, of course, 08 Monte Cristos. 08 has become such a great year in terms of smoking within this year in general. And most of them that I've had, I still think that they got legs to go another 2-3 years minimum. So,
08s are, yeah, I have some, what else was from 08s? I got a bunch of 08 stuff, which is just phenomenal. Bolivar Royal Coronas from 08's great. I have some D4s, which are great from 08. Then I smoked a Siri D number 5, which I prefer to the 4.
So I will say this. I will say the Siri D number 5, because you posted on that on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And then I said I was one on the band camps of saying PSD4 over PS5, right?
Yeah.
And I think that if you find a good box of PSD4s, they're incredibly good. They are a tough one to bypass in that regular production realm. But I think PSD the Partagas Series 5s are a lot more smaller production, and there's more consistency in that. So to that, I'll give it to the 5s. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I look at the D4 and the D5, and in my opinion, the D5, I think, delivers those awesome flavors, which you can get in a really good D4. But it does it in, like, this smaller format, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Robusto, but it's just – it's one of those – you get a little small Robusto, it's even more fun. But, yeah, I think it's – they're just not as – it's just not as big. It's a little bit more – you know, they don't produce as many, but they pay attention when they do it. Yeah.
Right on.
Then I finished off with a Ramon Ayones Club Corona, small Club Corona, which is a good little cigar. Yeah, it's a good little stick. I don't smoke a lot of them, just because when I smoke Ramon Ayones, I typically go for like the Gigantes. But it's a nice little cigar.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
So you want to talk about kind of what we're doing for the show today?
Yeah, man. You thought, dude, share it up. You thought of this idea. I love it. Yeah. We're doing it. I've been drinking.
So, one of the things that I see on forums and people do is they enjoy pairing up their cigars with various, alcohols and spirits, spirits and wines. And I'm under the band camp of, in general, Habanos. If you smoke a Habanos, it's best paired with the lighter spectrum of the alcohol world. And what do I mean by that? I mean like lighter beers. I mean like probably pilsners and lagers and things of that nature, or perhaps even like a brown ale. And today we're going to talk about wine. So we thought that we would kick off by going with wine, specifically red wine. We picked two wines. We picked a Pinot of our choice to represent the lighter side of the red wine. And then we picked the same wine for the heavier one. For the heavier one that both Seth and I are drinking, we're going with the 2013 Ridge Paso Robles Zinfandel. Give you a little background about this particular wine. This is from Central Coast, California. So it's very much so near San Luis Obispo. Paso Robles in general, who actually visited and tasted wine from there a couple weekends ago, is absolutely blown up with wine. They're making absolutely fantastic Zinfandels, Syrahs, and their weather of that heat in the daytime and that cooling breeze in the nighttime really makes for a really good, fruit forward, high alcohol fruit forward, sort of a Zen. And we are pairing one cigar to go along with these. So this is the Bolivar Royal Corona from, what is it, Seth? October 12th?
October, November. Well, I think it's October 12th. I think you're right.
Yeah. So, and the whole thing about it is we want to share and smoke the same cigar to go with two different kinds of wines and to see what pairs well. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, man.
So, Seth, so let's first talk about this particular cigar that we're smoking.
Bolivar Royal Coronas.
Yes.
It's a beast. What do you want me to talk about? Well, it's a Robusto. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Royal Coronas. I love it. Which it's been around for a long time. It's actually just been under a different name for a while.
Yeah.
So it was formerly the Prince Charles.
Yes.
Until the 70s, and then it became the Royal Coronas. I think it's probably one of the better Robustos coming out of Cuba. And it's received a lot of praise over the years, I think, from a lot of people. I don't know many people who don't like the Bali RC. it's kind of those. I feel like it's kind of lives in the shadows of the Bellicoso Finos, but it's better. That's my opinion. I don't know. You can share your thoughts.
No, I agree. I haven't had one of these real Coronas in a long time. I feel like smoking this is almost like, man, I got to smoke more of these, you know? And I know they're readily available. Why am I not buying more of these and smoking more of these?
Yeah.
But
it's one of those. Man, this is
so. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's one of those things that it's a favorite of mine. I smoke a lot of them. You know, I've bought in boxes of Tubos. I've bought in full count boxes. If you buy the 25 count boxes, and they're slightly pressed. You know, the boxes are pressed. If you get the Tubos, they're a little bit more round.
Yeah, like this is dress box. It's got like a ever so slight press on it.
Yeah. Which is. I kind of have two offerings. I'm smoking the round, but I also have a little bit of a little pressed one. Look at that. You can tell the difference.
Yep.
Both same box day. But it's one of those. They came in, gosh, I didn't know this really until someone was telling me. They came in 50 count cabinets years and years ago.
Yeah, I've seen some of those for sale, like once in a blue moon, like private sales. And right. I immediately kind of thought, back then I thought, well, someone's selling fake shit. And I was like, oh, wait.
Someone's selling something fake. But they're really old. But, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. If they brought these back in 50-count cabinets, I'd buy a cabinet of 50 easily. Just because I smoke through them so much. And I feel like it'd give me the opportunity to smoke them quite a bit while not having to, you know, deal with having to refill all the time. And I could age them too. But yeah, man, it's one of those, it falls victim to being less popular when you compare it with D4, Cohiba Robusto.
No.
But I don't know. I'd smoke it over a Cohiba Robusto and a D4 any day of the week. But we're trying it with this. Two different Pinot Noirs and a Zinfandel. So I'm interested to see how it's going. I'm smoking mine a little bit. I'm going with the Zinfandel right now. What are you trying it with?
Yeah. So I tried it with this Gary Farrell 2012 Russian River Pinot. So to give a little bit about Gary Farrell, I don't know if you guys can see this, but the damn glare. So Gary Farrell is they're in the Russian River Valley. So Russian River Valley is for those of you guys that geek out on wine. So you basically have like Yountville, St. Helena, and then you have Calistoga, and then you just keep going up. So if you go another probably north of 35, 40 more miles up, you'll get to Russian River. It's a fairly desolate kind of an area, which is typically of most wine-grown regions, unless if they get popular like Napa Valley and they just blow the shit out of everything and start building all these fancy restaurants. But so Gary Farrell, these guys make a lot of Pinots, predominantly known for their Pinots. This particular one is, if you guys want to find it, it's still readily available. You could probably spend it in the range of like 30 to 40 bucks a bottle. I bought mine at Costco, so it was like only like 30 bucks because Costco is pretty awesome for booze. So in terms of just kind of drinking this, so I drank some of this. I actually drank both wines before I lit up the cigar. I think this wine in general is the perfect wine to give to someone that not necessarily drinks a lot of wine and likes lighter body stuff, wants to kind of get into red wines without – getting beat over the head with, you know, say a 100% California, you know, Cabernet Sauvignon. So incredibly aromatic, really great, you know, soft tannins, very light bodied. It's a great introductory Pinot that's, you know, I want to say it's everyday drinking because I don't think a $35 Pinot Noir is everyday drinking. It might be for some of you guys, but this is probably like a good, you know, Friday night wine for me. In terms of the pairing with the cigar, it's drowning it out, man. Like, I could taste the cigar just fine, but I can't really taste the wine anymore when I'm smoking the cigar. So I think, with that said, the Bolivar, which typically is one of the more fuller-bodied Habanos out there, is not a good pairing. It drowns out the wine. But it doesn't overtake the wine. You know what I mean?
It's a little over. It's one of those. Bolivar is a bold. I mean, it's a bold, right. Bold Barca. So that's just Pinot Noirs. I can see it doing that to a Pinot Noir. It did that. I've been drinking I don't have the bottle with me because I emptied the bottle. I got a problem. But I'm drinking a Rockview Pinot Noir, which I typically don't drink Pinot Noirs, but my wine store, there's a chick that works there that my wife calls my wine wife.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, super hot. But she, she's got my tastes in wines, and I usually go for something a little bit bolder, so I usually go with her taste, and everything's perfect. So I said, hey, looking for a California Pinot. So she recommended this. It's Rockview Reserve. It's from Monterey. It's a 2012 Pinot Noir. I think it was like $18. Mm-hmm. And the Bolivar's overpowering the Pinot. Alone, the Pinot is very nice, but with the Bolivar, mm-hmm. you're just not getting those qualities. I think it would probably do better with something a little bit lighter. You know, yeah. El Redondo.
Yeah, something for sure.
Those lines.
Yeah, I think perhaps a well aged, like a vintage Cuban cigar, will fit this profile really well.
Yes,
but with something as relatively, not so much age. You know what, like 3 years or so in a Bolivar at that. It's not a good pairing. It's not doing the wine justice. You're almost like wasting wine. You might as well just drink fucking like Welch's grape juice or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those. It's the one thing I'll say is that if anything, it enhances some of the qualities of the Bolivar, but it doesn't. It hurts the wine, but it helps the cigar because it's showing really nice, but a lot more spice on the Bolivar finish. So it's one of those. Don't go with a Pinot, man.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so next one. Let's talk about the Ridge, man. Let me when we get a little background on Ridge. I'm pretty familiar with these guys, actually.
I love Ridge. I love Ridge. Oh, I love really? Everything so, they did.
Let me know, Seth. We'll off air. We'll talk more about it. But I could hook you up, man.
My sister. Sister-in-law lived and worked very close to Ridge for a couple of years. Yeah.
And so you remember where? By like Foothill in the like Cupertino area? Northern California, of course.
Yeah. I can't really remember right now. It's my wife's sister. It was one of those things. All I know is she just told me that she was very near Ridge all the time. So she sent photos. I never paid attention to actually what the fuck she was doing or where she was, but yeah, so, I got into Ridge. I know I have a lot of friends who are really big into Ridge here, but it's just one of those, it's probably one of my favorite wineries out of California. I just don't spend too much time paying attention to the California wines like you do, man. I just don't have that taste. I'm just one of those. I'm not cool.
That's all right. You pick it up by smoking fucking Monte Cristo 80th, 80 year anniversary, dick.
We salute you, man. We salute you. So,
yeah. All right. So let's talk about Ridge. Ridge is a very up and coming, or not up and coming. Ridge has quickly established themselves as a cult winery, I would say at this point. they're out of Cupertino, so they're probably about an hour away from me. So they're about an hour south, roughly south. So Ridge is known for a very fairly wide eclectic, stuff. So they're known for their Zins, they're known for their Chardonnays, they're known for their flagship, which everyone just absolutely goes ape shit over, is the Montebello. Okay. So Montebello, their flagship. So it's a dominant cab blend, and they try to kind of mimic it to like more of a Bordeaux blend. But tonight we are looking at the Ridge from 2013, Paso Robles Zinfandel. So just so you viewers know, in terms of Paso, Paso is huge and blowing up in terms of the Zin world. You know, like I was saying, you know, they're super hot summer, and then they're cooling in the nighttime, really helps with this grapes and their sugar content. So it yields a lot of Zins that are pretty high alcohol. So for instance, this guy that we're drinking is 14.8%, which is it's a pretty big like humdinger for a Zin. I mean, Zins are typically a little more alcoholic. This particular one is from Benito Ducey Ranch, which is literally like, it's right south of Paso. So Seth, what do you think about this pairing with the bully?
Beautiful. Everything is working off each other wonderfully, man. The Bolivar is just really bringing out all those great flavors in the wine. The wine's really helping out the cigar. This is what a great pairing is all about.
Yeah, I agree, man. Like I remember, so when I tasted this before I lit the cigar, it's what a great red Zin should be. Like it's
berries and spices.
Yeah, berries and spices, man. Like, two great terms to describe it. Like it's got a real nice spice kick to it, but it's perfectly layered in with the berries to it. And the body is pretty, I say this is a pretty full body red for me.
Oh yeah. Agree.
So when you pair that to such a cigar that's already so full bodied, the flavors don't counteract with each other. They kind of complement each other, I would say.
It is, you know, in Bolivars, I look at Bolivars really having, I was classified as like that old school Cuban quality to it and that very farmer countryside quality to it. It's just very spicy. It's very, you know, it's woody, earthy. It's just, I can picture myself being in the farms smoking this. This is kind of one of those things I don't look at as going further. So those flavors are just a little bit more, it's not as sweet. There's not as many berry qualities, I think, to it. But they really complement the spices, and they bring out those fruit notes from the wine, which help bring out some like the earthy and the woody and the spice qualities from the Bolivar.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of funny because what I could kind of relate to this Bolivar is too, is when you get a fresh Bolivar, I mean, yeah, there's a bite to it. And there's, you know, sometimes you get a little bit of that metallic taste to it, but
yeah,
it's kind of like when you get a really good fresh custom Cuban roll, like meaning like somebody just rolled it up at the farm and then like slapped a bunch of leaves together, rolled it up for you and then just lit it for you. It reminds me of that, man. Like I've never been to Cuba by any means, but I've definitely smoked cigars that's been rolled for the last, like only for like 2 weeks or so. And it reminds me of that, like there's such a like it's almost like you could, you know, not to pull hair out of my ass or anything, but you could almost taste the good, like richness of that magnesium soil that everything Cuba is so known for. And this like barnyard stink that it's like when you open up a nice box of Habanos and you smell that and it smells that real strong barnyard stink to it.
Oh, it's that manure quality. Yeah. It's one of those, and you know, for the guys in the States, the only other company who I've really ever had that with, and I know we've talked about them before. If you open up like a Luzione original documents, even an Epernay, and you smell that foot, just fresh box, a newer box, and you open it up, you get that whole, even the Rothschilds, man, I just got a 2014 box opened up, got the whole, all 50 of them in my face. It's just, it's like manure, rich earth. Yeah. It's just, that's what a Bolivar is. It's just, it's just classic.
It's like, I know exactly what you mean. I got, like, for instance, I got this really fresh box of Bolivar Bellicoso Finos.
Yeah.
You take that slight lid box, the lid off of it, and then you take that wheel out, and then you smell the foot of all that, the wheel of cigars. Man, it is that's what it's about. Like, you know from smelling that, you're like, I got a good box.
It's like you open the box and Simon Bolivar just pops up and slaps you in the face.
Right.
He's like hiding in there. What's up, motherfuckers? Bam! It's a beautiful. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Zinfandels, I think that's what it's all about too. It's one of those, it's in your face. It's stronger. A lot of characteristics to it. It's not that it's not elegant. It's just more pronounced.
Yeah. I think Zinfandel and Bolivars is made for the U.S. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Shiraz is kind of the same way. I think Shirazes do very well with Bolivars. That's just, you know, sometimes maybe a little bit more – that's a little bit more berry and fruity. I'd say it goes really well with, like, a Partagas. But, yeah, it's just spices.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And you know, let's go back to some of these haters that say that Cuban cigars don't draw and construction is shit. I mean, what the fuck does this tell you? You know, like, it's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, it's the draw's perfect. Construction's perfect. There's no soft spots. Like, there's no, you know, shitty, like, you know, hard draw from the, you know, great triple cap that it's on.
I've not had a construction problem with anything from 08 and beyond.
Yeah.
I look at, you know, I think 2007, 2008, that's when Cuba Tobacco and Habanos really turned things around. And I've never had issues. And the issues I've had, I have them with non-Cubans. That happens.
Right.
So it's just, it smokes great.
Yep.
So I would strongly recommend that people. How's this? I would strongly recommend you got Bolivar Royal Corona. Go with the Zinfandel. Ridge Paso Robles is good, but there's a lot of good Zinfandels out there.
Yeah. Speaking of Zins, man, at a Paso specifically, some of the great ones to check out if you are a fan of red Zins, which is the only Zin that is there or should be out there. Check out Ana Paso, Turley makes fantastic Zins.
Yeah.
Aventor makes great stuff too. Cass and this is what I like about Paso, man. Like, you know, have you been to Napa, Seth?
No, I've never been to Napa.
Oh, okay. So like Napa is kind of like, cause wine in general, when you go to a wine company and you go to wine tasting, there's a lot of folks that are all about what it started out as is like a mom and pop shop. It's like, oh, hey, yeah, let's have a table in this freaking barnyard that we have here, literally like a freaking barnyard, and then let's drink some of this wine that we've been crushing and bottling and whatnot, right? Now Napa is so big and that all you see is like humongous like tour buses that just goes and goes. Whereas Paso is still the mom and pop feel. And I hope that it stays there for a long time because I hate dealing with all these damn tour buses.
It's you know, I bet it's tour buses suck, man. it's just one of those things. It's, I mean, you know, and good for Napa. I mean, Napa's got some great wineries. I mean, and they make some terrific Cabernets and Chardonnays. But yeah, you're definitely, you're right in the fact that it just kind of takes away from that old feeling to it. Yeah. Imagine, you know, there was a time years ago where there's some places where it's just, it wasn't as big as it was. And now it's crazy. I mean, you know, I live near Asheville, North Carolina, and it's just one of those, it's like beer capital of North Carolina. It's huge beer thing. And it's just blowing up everywhere you go. There's a friggin' brewery and there's people crazy all over the place.
You're called Westbrook. Have you heard of Westbrook?
Westbrook.
I'm in
North Carolina.
Yeah. I think Westbrook is in North Carolina. They're a really popular brewery that's out there. Like people, like popular in the sense of people wait, and they'll wait for like 3-4 hours to get some sort of a special release that they do.
There's a couple of them in the area which are really like big ones. There's a couple stouts that get done in the area that are really a big deal. But I go to, man, if you're ever in Asheville, North Carolina, you got to go to the Wedge. It's this little brewery basically in the art district. It's honestly on the wedge of a building. Fucking amazing beer. Great little environment. So,
what, hipsters?
Oh, total hipsters, man. It's just, I was there. I mean, everybody goes there. It was like we were up there, it was like a Thursday at like 2 o'clock because we were up there for a wedding on Saturday and I went up early. It was like Thursday at 2, whole place was packed, beautiful weather. Yeah. And I was talking to one of the bartenders, he was like, gosh, man, there's tons of people out here for 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, yeah, man, it's a beautiful day. Everybody just left work, came here to get a beer. I was like, okay. There you go. Who cares? Why not? What else are you gonna do? So, but that's just it's. I imagine Napa's kind of in that sense. My father-in-law went to Napa. He said it was just he did the winery tasting, and he said it was crazy.
Yeah. So, speaking of just kind of this pairing, Seth, what do you think, aside from this, which other cigars do you think will pair well with it?
With a Zinfandel?
Yeah.
Man. Gosh, I'm trying to think. I'm going through all of them. I think a Partagas would do well. I think a Partagas is in these areas. I think it would be a different pairing, but I think it would do well. I think some Romeos would do well. I think that a Romeo Churchill would do well with this. A younger Romeo Churchill would do great. Yeah. Even Juan Lopez, Ramon Iones.
Yes. Juan Lopez would do great with this because I get a lot of like a woody taste to a lot of the Juan Lopez, which is typically why I don't like him. But I think with such a beefy Zen like this, I think it'll do a perfect blend. So. Yeah.
I would go with a Partagas, Ramon Iones, Juan Lopez. I wouldn't put H. Upman. I think H. Upman's just a little bit softer, a little bit more elegant.
I will make one exception to that. I would say Upman, Connie A's.
I smoked a Connie A. I should have thought about that. But overall, you know, half Coronas, Sir Winston's, number twos, I wouldn't go with it. But, yeah, Connie A's I have such a dark wrapper that I would definitely put them with it.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I would put. You know, I'm trying to think. A lot of the other stuff I wouldn't put with this. I'd put it with the sauce or probably more with the Pinot. Those are, you know, Ramon Iones, I think, you know, a special select would go great with this. Just because it's got those in-your-face characters. The Pinot, that's where I would put, like, Vegas Robaina, H.O.N. That's where I would go. I don't know. I'm trying to think about, you know, you think about the flagship Cohiba. Would you put a Cohiba with this Pinot?
Honestly, man, like, I would do a Cohiba with the ice water is about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm having a Cohiba, like, let's say it's a real nice aged Esplendido or a Cohiba Robusto or really anything Cohiba, like, I feel like there, I feel like Cohiba is such a nuanced cigar. I think a lot of the spirits and wines and what in the beer out there, I think it'll overtake it, man. Like, you know, quite honestly, like I'm all about smoking cigars for what it is in the beginning, and then I would pair stuff with it, kind of like how people pair wine with food, right? Like, I will first drink the wine by itself, or I would smoke the cigar by itself. And then after that, I will pair it up. But if it's like a real nice age, like Cohiba, I don't know, man. I will have to like drink some club soda.
It's one of it's, you know, with Cohibas, I've done a lot of pairings, but I think, I hate to say a mojito does great with the Cohiba.
Oh, dude, mojito. Dude, all right, let's just
put mojitos go well with about friggin' anything. Let's go there.
Exactly, right? So, like, that's a blanket statement. I'll also say blanket statement in the sense of coffee. Coffee will go great with any freaking cigar. I don't give a shit what coffee you're drinking. I mean, maybe it's not like the, you know, Folgers in your cup. Maybe not that kind of coffee. But we're talking like a quality roaster, like a local roaster you had, or the beans just got roasted like a week or so ago. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. I'm talking that kind of coffee. I'm not talking about some BS that you buy at, you know, 20-pound bulk at Costco. So,
yeah, it's one of those. It's an interesting thing. The Pinot is just a little bit softer. You know, I don't smoke a lot of El Rey del Mundo's. I don't know. I mean, do you smoke a lot of El Reyes?
No. I mean, I feel like when I got into the Cuban cigar world, there was such a limited stuff of El Rey del Mundo that I didn't really get an opportunity to smoke the good old El Rey del Mundo's that people would talk about. You know what I mean?
There's not much left. There's not much left of them. So,
same as Cuarto Orce. I mean, I know you hate Cuarto Orce, but
who fucking gives a shit, man?
Dude, the only that's left is Corrales and the Corona. I mean, you could still find a Pinatellas here and there, but
no more Imperialis, man. Churchill's gone. They cut that shit.
Yeah, that's right. They're gone. And I went deep on them, and you know, I'm gonna unban one of those damn things, and I'm gonna send it to you. You're gonna smoke it and be like, "Oh, what the fuck is that?" I'll be like, "It's a Cuarto Orce."
No way, man. You can't trick me with that. I know a Cuarto Orce when I see one. So, gosh, freaking anything they made for the French, you're like, really? What the hell are you fucking thinking? So,
actually, let's talk about that. Somebody on I saw it the other day. Somebody on Facebook on one of the posts that we put up, he had a question about I think it was about Cuarto Orce and the French regionals, right?
Like, why do you do a French regional on Cuarto Orce?
Right.
That's an excellent question.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know that, for instance, I have
That's like Napa Valley saying, hey, we're making a Cabernet for Napa.
Right. Yeah. Yep. It's true.
Like, we're making this Cabernet with the idea of people in Napa liking it. Or, you know, a French, you know, someone in Bordeaux saying, yeah, we're going to make this Bordeaux blend. And, you know, we're going to aim to make it so it drinks like a Bordeaux. It's like, no shit, man. That's what you fucking do. So.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, do you see a commonality? Do you see a commonality connections within the regionals? And typically how they blend it for that regional, for that region. For instance, I personally haven't smoked any France regionals. Nor should you.
I mean, what the hell? It's you know, the most interesting regionals. are Asia Pacific.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Why? Why do you say that?
Because they're very. I was classifying them as summer like, and they're very good. They're very good. But it's just they're lighter, a little bit more elegant.
Yes.
Very enjoyable. And that's why I was very disappointed in Fortacana, that Fortacana Asia Pacific. It was a buff. But it's interesting to see the brands that go for, you know, certain regions. I mean, for instance, you know, classic is Lebanon always goes with Ramon Ayones. You know, obviously, what Lebanon's smoking, what they're going for.
Right.
But like Great Britain has some regionals which are very much almost in line with Asia Pacific sometimes.
I agree. It's that
La Fortacana, Juan Lopez, Por La Arenaga.
Stuff that has, I would say stuff that has good amount of nuances and complexities, but strength level wise, it will never ever surpass something that's like a medium strength.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's the Benelux, the Belgium, Netherlands,
right.
Luxembourg, you know, you're getting Ramon Ayones, which that Corticos, I think it's a Cortico. It's this Ramon Ayones. It's like a short Robusto. It's got a huge ass title. I reviewed it. It's one of the best. Catfish smoked them too. He says, holy crap. One of the best regionals ever. Great size. Great example of Ramon Ayones. Just fucking beautiful. But then, you know, they've had some Bolivars and Juan Lopez, and it's just the spicier, you know, Zinfandel matching cigars, which is great.
No, I agree, man. Like, I mean, I would say that Asia Pac and Spain will pair pretty well with, I don't know, man. I would say it's a toss-up. I think it's light enough to hold up to a softer Pinot, but I think it'll still hold up to something as strong as a Zin. Because I remember smoking like that Punch Gran Robusto from Spain, that regional.
Great.
It was so good, man. Like, and I think those are what? I think those are from 2009 or 8?
Yes. 8 or 9.
But man, they
they're smoking now. Great.
They're amazing. Like, they're amazing the way they smoke now. It's almost like, why wouldn't I get more of those, right? So.
It makes you wonder, gosh, what were these like back in 08?
Right. It's kind of like a. It's probably – they were probably pretty freaking strong, man, because I remember –
I bet they're beasts.
Yeah. Do you remember – have you smoked La Excepcion, the Italian regional?
No, I've never smoked it.
Oh, okay. So when they first released, oh, my God, man, it was such a pepper bomb. And I would smoke an inch of that, and my I was starting to get a head buzz. So
– yeah.
No, people are going nuts for it, man. Like, people are paying and searching for like 3-4x the original price.
Which, I mean, I don't know what the Italian market is like for them, but it's one of those things, and it's gotten rave reviews and rave thoughts on them. People have said wonderful things about them.
Oh, you know something else that I think will pair well with this? Is one of those cigars that I smoked the last 2 weeks. I think the Hoyo San Juan will pair well with it.
With a Zinfandel?
Yeah. I know that.
I can see that.
You know, I know that because I was absolutely fucking hammered when I smoked that cigar. Because I actually went down to Paso, was it last weekend, to an event called Crush and Roll. It's a wine and cigar event.
Yeah. Doc. Stogie Doc.
Yeah, exactly. Met Doc there for the first time and everything. And by the way, he sounds exactly like the way he sounds like on his shows.
Yeah, I've seen some of his. I've never met him in person. Very nice guy from what I heard. But he's very informative. He's very descriptive in his shows. But I heard that's kind of what he's like in person too.
Yeah. But anyways, I was probably pretty close to a bottle of wine in, and I lit up that foil. And it was so good. I gave it to one of my buddies that I went down there with. And he's like, holy shit, I could taste this cigar. He's like, I'm pretty fucking drunk. And I was like, yeah, me too. Like, this is great. Like, imagine what it'd be like for out of fresh palate.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it's that. I'd have to smoke some more of them. You know, Oyos can go really any way. You know, I've had some Oyo Petit Robustos, which could pair well with this, you know, this Zinfandel. But then again, I've had some, you know, Epicure number twos and Especiales, which are like, I would just drink it with a nice Chardonnay or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's one of those, it's a brand that, as you said, it's not fair to classify it as being light consistently.
Yes, agreed. So, you know, we're about 3 minutes or so into this, the end of this show, but we're also about last third in into the cigar. What do you think of the cigar to kind of tell people about at this point?
It's smoking great. I mean, 12's a good year. I mean, I've never been able to find a problem with Bolivar Royal Coronas, whether it's, you know, 08, 12, 13, et cetera. It's just one of those things. They smoke great young. They smoke, you know, they smoke great with age. You know, they change up a little bit. Definitely, if you come across a box, pick some up. Yep, I think my code was both of them were Mirror 2012, Mirror October 12, or something like that.
Yeah, Mirror October 12. So, fantastic box. And I would say if you can't even find those right now, I wouldn't even, you know, I wouldn't even trip about that. Like, you should be more than happy with just kind of going through guys like Brian at Havana's and just picking up whatever stock that he has new in his warehouse. And, you know, if it tastes a little metallic and accurate when you first get them, lay it down for like four to 6 months, it'll be a completely different cigar.
Completely. And he's usually got a good idea. I mean, he can usually tell you what he's got.
Mm.
If you email him, he can tell you
perfect.
What it's like.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But yeah, man. So check him out. I have Anna's. He's got them. Keep them with Bovita. Keep them at that low RH and keep them cool, man.
Yeah,
that's how I do it. You keep at a low humidity and you keep them cool and they age perfectly.
Yeah, not to like, because if it's a shitty product, I have no problem saying that it's a shitty product. Because you know I know that because a lot of the shit that I do is like through helping out with Blind Man's Puff, right?
Yeah.
So you know, first of all, I don't know what the hell I'm smoking, and if it's a shitty cigar, I'll say that it's a crappy cigar. So I will say that with Bovita's though. I've not had, I mean, anything that worked better than the Bovita. And I heard the trick is you want to buy what you think is a surplus and put it in your humidor. And it'll last like typically half a year. I've heard some people even lasting for a whole year. And it'll just stay right there and consistent.
I have one of those. I have a big cooler. You know, it's one of those like coolers you can fit a whole fucking deer in. Packed full of 65s and it's just full boxes. Cigars smoke great out of the cooler. I haven't replaced those packets in 18 months.
Yeah, there you go.
And they're still, you know, I was going to say soft. I was trying to think of, you know, one of those to the top. I mean, there's no sign of firmness. It's great. It's just perfect.
Right.
And but I know that some people dry them
out. Yeah, and I know that when some people dry them out, they rehydrate it by like wrapping around in like distilled water, soap, paper towel. I've done that. It'll recharge up, but it doesn't. It'll actually dry up pretty quick after that for some reason.
So. It will. It's one of those things. They're not that fucking expensive, guys. Mm-hmm. If it dries up, throw it out. Throw another one in there. It's gonna.
Yeah.
You're not going to kill yourself on it. And you never have to worry about, you know, the cigar's getting too friggin' wet. Because I'll tell you one thing, I've had plenty of problems. I had a cigar oasis that, like, had a mind of its own years ago. Oh, yeah. Yep. I was just like, what are you doing, man? So, yeah. But that's what we have for this show. We'll be back in a couple weeks. We'll have a new topic. Yellow Snapper, yep. Any final words, man?
Final words. 2012, Bully Royal Corona. Get yourself a Zen and pair it up. Bypass the Pinot because it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yep. You know, and I'll also say, by all means, guys, please, if you have anything that you want us to review or talk about on the show, like, let us know, man. Like, you know, we love to hear from you. We love to, you know, address whatever the hell you want to, you know, talk about and BS about. Everything Habano-centric, I'm up for it. We're gang.
We're up for it. Except for it's fucking Kate Orsay, then I'll kill you. So, but yeah, no, we're up for it. Baba, we don't get a shot. So, but that's What Embargo, Book 2, Chapter 2, Bolivar Royal Coronas with a Zinfandel. Do it. Hit it right. We'll see you all in a couple of weeks. Laters.
Later, guys.